ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। तो टुडेज वर्स नंबर 18 ऑफ 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 14 टाइटल्ड ब्रह्मास प्रेयर टू लॉर्ड कृष्णा। इट इज अ बिग श्लोका एंड आई मेड अद्वैत त्वद रीते अस्य किम् मम न ते माया त्वम् आदर्शितम् एको असि प्रथमं ततो ब्रज सुहृदयं वस्ता समस्ते अपि। प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी बिकॉज इट इज आई डोंट नो हाउ टू प्रोनाउंस इट। आई विल ब्रेक द फर्स्ट लाइन इन टू। अद्वैत त्वम् रीते अस्य किम् मम न ते माया त्वम् अदर्शितम् एको असि प्रथमं ततो ब्रज सुहृदयं वास्ता समस्तापि तात्मन्तो असि चतुर्भुजास्तद् अखिले साकं मम मयोपासितास् तावन्ते एव जगन्ति अभूस् तद अभितम ब्रह्मा द्वयम् तिष्ठते। अदे ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। हैव यू नॉट शोन मी टुडे दैट बोथ यू योरसेल्फ एंड एवरीथिंग विद इन दिस क्रिएशन आर मैनिफेस्टेशन ऑफ योर इनकंसीवेबल पोटेंसी। First you appeared alone and then you manifested yourself as all of Vrindavan's calves and cowherd boys, your friends. Next you appeared as an equal number of 400 Vishnu forms who were worshipped by all living beings, including me. And after that you appeared as an equal number of complete universes. Finally, you have now returned to your unlimited form as the Supreme Absolute Truth, one without a second. Purport. As stated in the Vedic literature, Sarvam Khalva Idam Brahma, everything that exists is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, everything is ultimately part and parcel of the Lord's spiritual existence. By Lord Krishna's causeless mercy, Lord Brahma personally experienced that all existence, being the potency of the Lord God, is non-different from him. First of all, I seek the blessings of all the devotees present here to empower me to say something. So, in this prayer, these are prayers of Lord Brahma to Krishna. In these prayers, actually, while offering this prayer, he is remembering what has happened sometime before. And it is coming before his eyes, Brahma's eyes, as if it is something fast forward, something that happened and it is moving before his eyes as it has happened in a fast forward mode. And through this Leela, he is experiencing the highest realizations of Krishna's inconceivable potency. So, very briefly, I would like to narrate the sequence of events which led to Brahma's bewilderment initially and prompted him to take imprudent action of bewildering Krishna by his own potency. So it happened a year before, when Krishna was 5 years old. He, that day, killed a gigantic and venomous snake Agasur and gave him Sarup Mukti. Brahma was just seeing all this, and after that he saved all his cowherd boys and calves which were in the mouth of Agasur. So Brahma was very much astonished that a demon who was actually there to kill Krishna and all his friends and calves, he was given Sarup Mukti. He was astonished. And then Krishna saved all his calves and cowherd boys. And since it was getting late, he took them to the banks of River Yamuna and they started taking lunch, prasadam. So they were, Krishna was sitting in the center and they were sitting all around Krishna. And Krishna was joyful, everybody is joyfully eating the prasad. And the cowherd boys who brought tiffins from their home, they were tasting the food and telling Krishna, it is very tasty, it is very nice, please eat it. And Krishna was eating it very joyfully. Because Krishna was not tasting the taste of the food, but he was also tasting the great love and affection of his devotees. So Bhima was further bewildered because according to Vedic Shastras, Krishna or Vishnu, who is an expansion of Krishna, is known as a Yagbhuk. Because Krishna eats only those food which is offered to him with great purity, sanctity and with perfect ritualistic process of chanting Vedic mantras. And here he sees that Krishna, who is offered with such reverence food, is now eating jhuta of their friends. So he was not only astonished, he was bewildered. And because of this, a certain desire appeared in his heart that let me try to test and bewilder this little Krishna by my own potency, whether he is actually Krishna or not. He was trying to test that. So this was his imprudent action, actually desire. So he wanted to bewilder Krishna by stealing all his cowherd boys and the calves. And then he wanted to see the fun. Actually, it is written there, Prabhupada writes, that it was a, actually, he was trying to play with fire. So what he did, when Krishna was away, he took all the calves first and then the cowherd boys and placed them in the cave and put them to, under his mystic power, he put them to sleep in the cave. And then he went to his own Brahmlok. But he was afraid. He was apprehensive that what I have done, because Krishna is his master. He knew Krishna is his master. But this is a slight influence of the false ego that he wanted to test Krishna. He show his own power to Krishna. And therefore, he was thinking that I have played mischief with him, his master, because I am born of his own, directly from his personal body. And I have created this whole universe under his directions. So I am playing with fire, actually. So under anxiety, he could not stay in the Brahmlok. He immediately came back in a moment. And by the time he came to this earth, already 1 year has passed. Because there is so much difference in the time duration. And now what he saw, that Krishna is playing with the boys and the calves as he left them. As before he took those, stole them, he was playing as if there is same boys and calves. He's playing with them. So he was further bewildered. How it is happening? So he went to the cave and saw whether Krishna has actually taken those same boys and calves from there and playing with them. He saw that they are already there. He came back and he saw that Krishna is playing with the same boys and calves. He again went to the cave, came back, and ultimately he could not distinguish, because both of them were existing separately, who is real and who is not real. This is further bewildering Brahma. So at this point, so actually when Brahmaji stole the cowherd boys and the calves, Krishna took this as an opportunity to actually achieve so many objects out of it. He expanded himself into the same number of cowherd boys and the calves. And the purpose was, he had many purposes. Actually, he is very expert in achieving many purposes from a single leela. So he was thinking that I should give pleasure to the mothers of these calves and the cowherd boys, because they loved Krishna more than their own children. So he was actually trying to fulfill their desire that by becoming these calves and boys, I will fulfill their desire to love me. He also wanted to enlighten Brahma and to give him transcendental pleasure by showing his inconceivable potency. And he also wanted to set an example for all the living entities for all the time to come through this particular leela. Because Krishna always sets great examples through great personalities. Because we are looking to these great personalities, and when those personalities can commit mistake out of ego and so many things, then it is for the insignificant living entities, why cannot commit so much mistake? So this is actually teaching, Krishna is teaching the living entities the lesson that even such high personalities can be bewildered. So why can't this insignificant living entities can be bewildered? So they should be taking lessons from this and be humble in their life. So Krishna appeared in the form of calves and cowherd boys exactly identical to the original, in their bodily features, in their mannerism, in their habits, in their reciprocation of love with their parents. Every minute detail Krishna actually imitated, completely duplicated himself in those calves. And so it was in such a expert way that the parents or the mothers of the calves and the children could not even detect this difference for complete 1 year. So this was so expertly done by Krishna. So when he came back, he saw that Krishna is playing with the same boys and calves, and Krishna is actually in the same position. A year back he left Krishna, he was holding yogurt mixed with rice and fruits in the left hand. And when he came back, he was seeing that Krishna is holding the same yogurt in his left hand and playing in the same way as he was playing before. So he was much bewildered. He could not distinguish whether they are original or the calves and cowherd boys which are in the caves are the original. He could not distinguish, because they were existing separately at both places. Who is real, who is unreal? So Brahma was further bewildered by all this. And now the further bewilderment is awaiting Brahma, as given in this particular shloka, that Krishna In order to bewilder Brahma more and more, he, all these forms of calves and god boys turned into Vishnu Murti. Bluish in color, wearing silken yellow garments, holding the folded form, holding Shakra, Chakra, Gada, Padma, everything is described here, that with full decoration, with everything. And what he was seeing, that all these Vishnu forms are worshipped by demigods, including himself, by all the rishis and all the saints and all the living entities, moving and unmoving. Everybody is worshipping each individual entity of Vishnu separately. So bewildering. So many millions of Vishnu, and they are all worshipped separately by all these demigods and everybody. So he was still bewildered. So he came to his senses, because he understood clearly that this is the inconceivable potency of Krishna. So the one important point which Prabhupada writes here, that Brahma realized that all these forms of the boys and the calves are not transformation by mystic power, just like yogis and the demigods. Matlab, by mystic power, they create sometimes duplicate forms which are different from the original. But here he realized that they are not forms which are made out of yog maya, out of mystic power. But actually they are Vishnus. They are not different from Vishnus. It's not something a imagination or something he is seeing as a camouflage. What yogic transformation by yoga means, that there is some mesmerism is done. And we see that they are here, but actually they are not here. But here he is realizing that actually they are the actual Vishnu forms. They are not transformation by some yogic process, just like yogis and demigods do. So this is very important to understand, that they were actually Vishnu forms and not something, some transformation of something which is done by a yogic process, some mesmerism type of thing. So this is very important. So why we have to understand, because we have to learn from this, why Brahma was bewildered, why he was bewildered by this Krishna. So, and why he acted in such imprudent way. So we, as we understand that Brahma is the very powerful person in this universe, he is the, actually the first and the most intelligent living entity. He has the greatest life span. And actually it is said that Brahma is selected from the living entities after Prilaya, after the devastation, who are the most intelligent and who are most devoted to Krishna. And sometimes it is said that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when Krishna doesn't find a suitable person, he himself takes the position of Brahma. It is so important. So he is the chief person in this universe, and he was given the jnana by Krishna himself in his heart. Tene Brahma Hirde. After he performed tapasya for 1,000 celestial years. So Brahma considered himself absolute, thinking himself the only powerful authority in this universe. This is how false ego crept in. But he saw that by slightest exhibition of Krishna's mystic potency, Brahma himself get bewildered. So this false ego that I am the chief person, I am the creator of this universe, that tapped in and he tried his own mystic power on Krishna. So Krishna, Brahma in his own prayers in the some previous verses says how he is limited. He himself says that he is actually explaining his shortcomings, that because of the activities of creation, because anybody who creates is supposed to be in Rajogun, otherwise he cannot create. So since I am born in Rajogun, therefore I am foolishly presumed to be myself to be the controller. Because in Rajogun, persons think that he is the creator, he is the doer, and he is the controller. So he is thinking himself to be the controller. And when one thinks that he is the controller, then he acts independently of Krishna. That is the natural consequence of that. Foolishly presumed, and therefore, and this is because of the prestigious position as cosmic creator, he identified himself as the lord of the world, and therefore forget his real position as the insignificant servant of Krishna. So this is how false ego works, that when we think ourselves as something significant, then we forget that we are actually insignificant servant of Krishna. So this is how he came into this illusion, and he acted in that imprudent way of testing Krishna and bewildering Krishna by his insignificant mystic potency, which is nothing before Krishna's mystic potency. So Srila Prabhupada explains that this is the position and tendency of all the living entities in this world. Because out of false ego, they identify their bodies, they consider themselves the enjoyer, the controller, and the proprietor. And because of that ignorance, they forget their relationship with Krishna. Just like Brahma exhibited, he forgot his relationship with Krishna. So we see many examples how Lord Shiva was bewildered by Krishna in the form of Mohini Murti. And because Lord Shiva was not present at the time when Krishna appeared as Mohini Murti and bewildered the demons and took away nectar from them. And Lord Shiva wanted to see Mohini Murti, and Krishna told him that, please. And Lord Shiva, thinking that I am giving discourses to such sannyasis and saints, and Parvati, who is so beautiful, is sitting on my lap, what will happen to me? But Krishna warned him, but he told, no, I want to see. And what happened, we all know. That when Mohini Murti appeared before Lord Shiva, he became completely bewildered. He started, although Parvati was just standing on his side, he started running after Mohini Murti. And Mohini Murti was running, and he was running behind Murti Murti, and he was running toward through the yagshalas where yagas were performed for by the devotees of Lord Shiva, for Lord Shiva, and they were seeing how what is happening. Lord Shiva is just running after a beautiful lady, and then Krishna disappeared, and Radha Maharaj was explaining that Lord Shiva was not ashamed actually. He was actually smiling and appreciating the potency of Krishna. That he is the supreme controller. He can bewilder anybody. So this is the position how he can bewilder. We can also see the example of Lord Indra. That on the request of Indra, Krishna killed Bhaumasura and retrieved the kangan or the earrings of Aditi, and went to the Indralok to return that. And Satyabhama was with Krishna, and while he was coming back, he was passing through Indra's garden, and Satyabhama shows the desire to take a flower, Parijat flower, from that. And Krishna told him that, no, why, I will take the full plant and plant for you in your garden. And what happened? Indra, who was so grateful to Krishna a few moments before because he has done so much favor to him, he came running and he told, "Who? I am the proprietor of this garden." Although everybody knows that Krishna is the proprietor of everything, every thing belongs to Krishna, and everything is for the pleasure of Krishna. But he came and told, "Why you have taken this without my permission?" Instead of offering him that, "If you want one, I can give you many plants, take them, it is my offering to you," he started fighting with Krishna, and ultimately Krishna defeated him. So this is how false ego works, that they consider themselves to be proprietors. They consider themselves to be the enjoyer. And in spite of knowing that Krishna is the proprietor, they try to show all these things. So from this we understand that how Krishna can bewilder anybody, and how we are so insignificant that any moment we can be bewildered by Krishna's maya. So it was Krishna's maya which bewildered Lord Brahma, and he acted in such imprudent way. So another thing which we have to understand is that Brahma wanted to test Krishna and tried to understand Krishna by his own mystic power. Mystic power which is limited, and Krishna is unlimited. So how it is possible for a materially born person who is born out of the material energy, who has four basic defects, deficiencies like imperfect senses, tendency to cheat, illusion, how he can understand the unlimited? Person who is himself limited, how can he understand the unlimited? And Krishna, who is the reservoir of all spiritual potencies, spiritual qualities, and his mystery and his mystic power are inconceivable. And Brahma, who is limited by his by time, space, intelligence, capability, ability, how he can understand Krishna? So this is how the living entities act, that they are superior beings, and therefore they develop this ego. They get puffed up because of that. So Brahma himself has realized in one of the prayers, in previous prayers, that what is my size? I am just 7 times the size of my hand. And I am enclosed in a pot-like universe, space. And I am made of material energy. So what is my... of 8 energies which are separate from Krishna. Bhinna Prakriti Astuda. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego. This is all material. I'm made of that. So from material intelligence, how can I understand the spiritual identity which is complete? And Krishna, who is Chit, who is actually eternal, spiritual, is completely different from the material. So when Brahma saw Vishnu's forms, so he concluded that what is the potency of Krishna? Because he is limited, and Lord Vishnu, in the form of Mahavishnu, is emanating unlimited universes from the pores of his body. So what is his position and what is his position? He is considering that. So in one of the lectures few days back, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was explaining that how a limited can understand the unlimited. It is absolutely impossible for a limited to understand the unlimited. because it is absolutely impossible. It can only happen by the mercy of the unlimited. When the unlimited has mercy on the limited, he can make him realize his unlimited potency, his unlimited existence, his unlimited powers, and only then the limited can understand the unlimited. That is only possible by the mercy of unlimited. As we have known that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that only by devotional service and by mercy I can be known as I am in full. So only limited can understand Krishna, who is unlimited, by the mercy of Krishna, by the process of devotional service. So this is, we have to understand that, and Radhana Maharaj has very beautifully explained this. So by the power of the effulgence of Vishnu's, the Brahmaji was completely astonished. He was stunned in transcendental bliss, actually it is said, because Krishna wanted to give him transcendental bliss. This was also one of the purposes, enlighten and give him transcendental bliss. Seeing the effulgence of Vishnu Murtis, he was actually stunned with transcendental bliss. And then what happened? He was not able to see Krishna. There was so much effulgence, and with very much difficulty he could open his eyes. And what he saw? That nothing is there, only Krishna alone is standing there with yogurt in his hand, and is searching for the cowherd boys. Everything has vanished. He is searching for the cowherd boys and the calves. So this is what is written here in this shloka, this verse, that what has happened. He is actually remembering how the things had happened before his eyes. It is just like a fast track move before his eyes. So we have to understand there is two types of knowledges. One is abstract knowledge and one is realized knowledge. So by abstract knowledge we mean that we know certain things in principle, but we are not able to visualize what it is. Just like when we say that humility means that he should be devoid of false pride, he should be devoid of false ego, he should be prideless. What it means actually for us? He should be very humble. Tranadapi sunichene tarorapi seshunam amanila mandene. What it means? But when we see this in a person who is living with this quality, then we realize that this is humility. Just like Brahma, when he came in this world as Haridas Thakur, and he came in the family of a Yaman, untouchable family, and by his process of devotion, he was given the name of Namacharya. In spite of that, he was elevated to such a position, and he was living in Jagannath Puri. He did not ever thought of entering Jagannath temple, because he thought himself he is insignificant. He is not actually qualified to enter there. So these qualities come alive when we see those qualities in a person. Otherwise they are just abstract qualities for us. We cannot understand what are those qualities. So similarly, Krishna is now showing Brahma what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. He says in Bhagavad Gita that the yogis see in me all the living entities, and me in all the living entities. All the living entities me, and me in all the living entities. And he also sees that he is seeing that the Supreme is everything. And he also says, Krishna says, that I am everything, but I am out of everything. So how to understand all this? So Krishna, by this Brahma Dila, is actually explaining, showing Brahma that what is this inconceivable potency is, and how he is everything actually. He is out of everything, and he is everything, is part of everything, is in everything. So
In one of the Brahmaji is also remembering that Leela of Krishna, where he has eaten dirt. In the previous two shlokas, he is referring to that, where he has eaten dirt, and Balram and other cowherds complained to Yashoda Mai that he has eaten dirt, and he asked Krishna to show his mouth. And what she saw there, she saw the total universe, the mountains, the rivers, the seas, the forest, demigods, living entities, including Yashoda saw her looking into the Krishna's mouth. So, how is this possible? He is remembering that. And here, in this prayer, he is saying, my dear Lord, in this incarnation, you have proved that you are the supreme controller of Maya. Although you are now within the universe, because Krishna appeared in his original form in this universe, and in Vrindavan, the whole universal creation is within your transcendental body, because Krishna showed in his body that whole creation. When Yashoda was seeing, the whole creation was in the mouth or abdomen of Krishna. And he is actually in this universe. So how this is possible? A fact you demonstrated by exhibiting the universe within your abdomen before your mother Yashoda. So this is the inconceivable potency of Krishna. And then in the next shloka, he says, just as this entire universe, including you, was exhibited within your abdomen, so it is now manifested here externally in the same exact form. What was actually inside Krishna's abdomen is actually appearing outside his abdomen also. Because Yashoda saw the same thing. Yashoda saw that she is looking into the mouth of Krishna, in the abdomen, in the mouth of Krishna. But he is actually outside the mouth, and Yashoda is seeing actually in his mouth what is happening. So he is telling that, so it is now manifested here externally in the same exact form. So how could such things happen unless arranged by your inconceivable potency? So now Krishna, Brahma is coming to the conclusion that it is only because of the inconceivable potency that it is happening. So I would like to refer to one paragraph from Nectar of Devotion. Krishna is present everywhere, not only within the universe, not only within the hearts of living entities, but also in every atom. In the prayers of Kuvi Kunti, we find mention of this inconceivable potency of Krishna. While Krishna was talking to Kunti, he simultaneously entered in the womb of Uttara, who was in danger due to atomic weapon of Ashwatthama. But the same Krishna talking to Kunti Maharani, and when he see danger to Uttara, he entered in the womb of Uttara. And this second para, one more para is very, actually, Rupa Goswami summarized everything in a few words. Krishna's inconceivable potencies have been described by Sukhdev Goswami as follows. This Rupa Goswami writes, Krishna is bewildering my intelligence because although he is unborn, he has appeared as a son of Nand Maharaj. Krishna is unborn, actually. He is all-pervading, but still he is held in the laps of Yashoda. He is actually everywhere, but now he is confined in the lap of Yashoda. In spite of his all-pervasiveness, he has become limited by the love of Yashoda. Because Yashoda bound her in the Damodar Leela, so he actually become limited by the love of his devotee. Although his innumerable forms, still he is moving as one Krishna before his father and mother. He is everywhere, moving, and millions and millions of forms are there, and unlimited forms are there, but as a single person he is moving before Nand Maharaj and Yashoda. In Brahma Samhita also it is said that although Krishna is externally, eternally living in Golok Vrindavan, his transcendent abode is still present everywhere, even within every atom. So this is the inconceivable potency of Krishna, which Krishna has actually shown. So it is not only abstract knowledge now for Brahma, which he has actually mentioned in 35 verse of Brahma Samhita. He says that it is an undifferentiated entity as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him and is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. Such is the primal Lord. This is abstract knowledge. But he is seeing this, what he has prayed in Brahma Samhita before his eyes. Krishna is actually showing him that what you have told is actually true, because I am showing you that how by my inconceivable potency. So this is how we can, this prayer is very relevant for that. So Lord, through this particular Leela, Lord Brahma is personally experiencing that all existence, being the potency of the Lord, is non-different from him. Everything that exists is an expansion of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus, everything is ultimately part and parcel of Krishna. And actually, the basic principle of Krishna consciousness is, as Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, that nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. So we have to understand that Krishna consciousness means that nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the source of everything. He exists everywhere. So this is the realization which Brahma got from this Leela, and it is the realization which we are trying to understand from Brahma ji, that how Krishna has inconceivable potencies. So the ultimate conclusion is that unless we consider Krishna and his potencies as inconceivable, what it means inconceivable, which is beyond material conception, beyond material thought, and beyond material arguments. There cannot be nothing against that. So the ultimate conclusion is, without accepting the inconceivable energy of Supreme Personality of Godhead, considering him as accepting that he has the inconceivable energy of Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot understand and explain things as they are. It is difficult. We cannot understand Krishna, we cannot understand anything regarding Krishna, unless we come to this conclusion that he is inconceivable and his potencies are inconceivable. So from this Leela, actually, since we are living entities are limited and always in doubt how it is possible, it is a very eye-opener for all living entities to understand the inconceivable potencies of Krishna and their insignificant position, what they are before. When Brahma is not insignificant before Lord Krishna, who is the creator of this universe, secondary creator, is known as secondary creator. What is position before, and what is our position then before Krishna? Actually, we have, as compared to Brahma, we are insignificant. For us, he is inconceivable in one sense. And for Brahma, Krishna is inconceivable. So what is our position before Krishna? So we should consider ourselves insignificant and become humble. Because to become humble is the first quality to become devotee. To realize our insignificant position. And unless we become humble, and we cannot get the mercy of Krishna. The only thing which attracts Krishna is the humility of a person. And when Krishna is attracted to the humility of person, he gives his own mercy. And by that mercy, we can
actually approach Krishna, understand Krishna, and that is the process. So it is very instructive for all of us to understand our insignificant position and the inconceivable position of Krishna. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I'm actually not qualified to such a deep subject, but I've tried my best to put my views before you. Hare Krishna. If you have some doubts or comments, you can. I think I am in time. Hare Krishna. Ganthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.